Rover, as he likes to be called, is making everybody laugh again now with a brand new comedy called A Perfect Likeness. The premise? What if Charles Dickens and Lewis Carroll met and spent time together as Carroll tried to take a photograph of Dickens? Rover's in studio with me right now. We're going to be talking about this exciting new play. Rover, welcome.
Thanks, Dot. It's so nice to be.
You have been creating a lot of magic for people in theater, but what I'd like to know is, when did theater first become magical for you?
My mom always tried to push me on stage anytime there was something going on when I was a child. When I was 13, a local school did a production of Oliver, the musical adaptation of the Charles Dickens story, Oliver Twist. And my mom just sort of encouraged me to do it. Not that there was any interest that I was showing, but she just seemed to think I would be a natural at it. And she was right. Not only did I like being up on stage, but I really liked the camaraderie of theater. I really liked being with this big gang of actors, singers, musicians, all these people who spent a month or two together to create this show. And as a, let's say, I guess I was 13 years old, I was totally seduced by the world of theater. I thought it was fantastic and just wanted to do nothing but.
And from there, from that Oliver production, would you tell me a little bit about your journey through the reduced Shakespeare company and what happened?
Well, sure. I trained as an actor when I got out of high school. I moved to England because I was a big Anglophile. I just wanted to learn and absorb everything British. And so I went to drama school and was there for almost 2 years before I came back to California to find work as an actor. But, you know, acting careers suck, and I didn't have much luck in my early acting career. And I ended up working at the Renaissance Fair. Renaissance fairs are seasonal and they're weekend events, so it's not like having a full-time job. But I met a couple of great guys there, Adam Long and Jess Winfield, and the three of us did on a seasonal basis for years little half-an-hour Shakespeare shows at the Renaissance fairs, and that was great fun. We didn't really know at the time that we were actually developing material for a more concentrated purpose. But at the end of doing it for about 6 years, a friend of ours suggested that we might take our act to the Edinburgh Festival. So we took all of our best material, whipped up a little show called The Complete Works of William Shakespeare in an hour or less as kind of a stupid human trick. The idea being that three guys could do everything that Shakespeare ever wrote in an hour. And we went to Edinburgh, and it was this huge sensation. We didn't expect it to get such a big response. So after that great reception, we developed the show a little further into a full-length theatrical piece where it became Complete Works of William Shakespeare, abridged. And by then, we were all in our late 20s, and we started just touring it around the world. We went all over Australia, North America, a few stops in Europe. And by the time we were done, we had a product that everybody wanted. It ended up playing in London for almost a decade and setting new records there. And now it's performed all over the world by schools and drama festivals and Shakespeare festivals. It's been translated into at least 20 languages. It's just a crazy phenomenon. And it's the silliest show. But because it's kind of silly and smart at the same time, because it's based on Shakespeare, it appeals to everybody. Kids love it and scholars love it. And we just got very lucky with the fact that it has just universal appeal.
It's hysterically funny on YouTube. I was looking at that last evening, enjoying it very much. What happened for you after your run with the Reduced Shakespeare Company is still continuing, but you left in 1989, I believe?
Right. So at that time, I had an opportunity to go and work at Walt Disney Imagineering, and I just got my foot in the door there, but I was thrilled because I had been a theme park designer since I was little. I was talk about being seduced by theater. I was totally seduced by Disneyland. Disneyland for me was a mecca. I don't know why it appealed to me so much. I think I kind of had the sensibility of a sort of an old world artist. And I grew up in mid-century America where architecture was very ordinary and boring. And I looked at Disneyland, and even though it's basically just a big movie set, like a big permanent set that you're able to walk through and experience, but the fact that it was done so well and with such great landscaping and imagination made me, as a child, build models of castles and haunted mansions out of cardboard and tape and scissors. So by the time I was an adult, even though my focus was theater, I was always making up ideas for theme park attractions. So when I got the opportunity to work in Imagineering, I jumped on it, and I stayed there for 12 years. And it was one of the greatest careers a person could possibly have.
Before we get to talking about A Perfect Likeness, what's one of your absolute favorite stories about that great career?
There's a scene in the Haunted Mansion that I particularly love. And I know that the Haunted Mansion is sort of one of those mega attractions that has a lot of appeal to a lot of people. There's entire art shows based on the Haunted Mansion and lines of products. And when I was an employee, I would sometimes need to go down to Disneyland and do research on whatever I was working on, a certain special effect or a certain way of staging a scene. And I would go into the Haunted Mansion all by myself early in the morning before it was open. So it just had the work lights on and it was deathly quiet. There wasn't anybody in the building but me, and I would just walk the entire attraction. And even though I knew it was just a warehouse with a bunch of theatrical scenery in it and fluorescent lights on because it was just work lights, that place is still so creepy. And I took a picture of myself. I took a selfie. I can actually use that real word now. sitting at the organ in the big ballroom where all the ghosts are magically reflected in a piece of glass that you don't know is there. Oops, sorry, spoiler alert. And so I have this photograph of me sitting at this big pipe organ that was originally in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea that James Mason played. And that picture of me capturing that moment of what a cool thing it was to be able to hang out at the Haunted Mansion early in the morning all by myself is one of my favorite moments.
Ooh, that is cool. Although I get the impression if somebody had snuck up and said, boo, you probably would have
I would have hit the ceiling. Yeah.
How did you happen to start writing again? Because you had mentioned in an article that I think you wrote for LA Stage West,
yes,
that you had tried to write again and you weren't too thrilled with the results.
Right. Well, when I got to about age 40, my career at Imagineering was winding down. Imagineering went through a huge work spurt in the 90s that very much dropped off at the turn of the century. And so I started thinking about what I would do as a freelance creative person. And I loved to write and I loved theater. And so I started working on plays and I discovered, and this is something I've been telling my friends, I discovered it's very easy to write a mediocre play. It's like everybody can do that. But when you start having readings and workshops and you see if your work is good enough to really entertain and engage people, you learn that you may have a lot of work to do if you're going to really succeed as a playwright. So I actually gave up after writing several things that didn't go very far. I thought, nope, I'm just going to focus on doing things that actually will make money, like restoring houses, you know, practical things that I've been doing in the last 10 years.
But your creativity had some other ideas, and we'll be back in just a moment and find out more about that. You and I are listening to Daniel Rover Singer, creator of the play A Perfect Likeness, currently over at the Fremont Theater. This is Over Coffee with Dot Cannon, back in just a moment on LancerRadio.org.